August 8, 2020. It's the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Second Saturday, August. Summer, maybe halfway through. Maybe a month till Labor Day Parade. Brother Matt at his Love Grotto. A couple miles south on the Pleasure Point because we're in Quentin Quarantino mode. But I am not totally man alone mode. Because of the wonders of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got with me Mr. Dougie Bow.
Hello.
There you are.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, Dougie. Let me tell the listeners what they heard. They heard John Coltrane doing a live version of Nature Boy. And after that, okay, people, this edition is a special one. This is a real-time edition of the Watt from Pedro Show because we got 19 duets, courtesy of my guest, Dougie Bown, and dealing with these COVID-19 time and making the best of it musically and creatively. So this was Unreal Time number one, and it was Ben Porowski and Dougie Bown. And, incredible. This is what people involved with arts do when things get to the short and curlies, you know? They fucking improvise. They get to it. They deal with the situation. They just don't bellyache and moan and sit on their goddamn hands. They fucking get busy. And Dougie, being a stick man with the beat in his hand, foundation man, blast off man, launch pad man, springboard man, beautiful. But let's learn about your journey through music, Brother Doug. Let's, if you can, give me your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, that is a hard one because my father, we lived in the basement of a building in the Bronx. My dad was a super of the building. So we had a lot of space and he played violin and, you know, he could play guitar, but he never was professional or he was kind of not into the idea of being professional. It's a long story. His dad was a cellist and the depression hit. So his thing was, you know, you gotta have a job and music might not be it, you know. So, but he played, he put on Frank Sinatra records. He loved the chairman of the board and he played Henry Mancini, stuff like that. Really great records actually. And, he'd once in a while bust out the violin and play along. And he was quite good. So that would be my earliest recollections. And then as a kid, I got into, you know, John Barry score, like the James Bond movie scores. I loved the, I loved the harmonies and stuff. It was kind of interesting. It wasn't the drum thing immediately for me. But, you know, I started tapping and banging on my knees and stuff pretty early on. So, yeah.
Because, yeah, from what I understand, there's a violin in the pad, there's a guitar in the pad. But you're not motivated to really work those.
Not exactly. My brother, my mom died when I was young and it was quite sudden. And the family fell apart pretty much. It was very hard for us to deal with everything. We did the best we could. My father, my sister was very young, and she's trying to, you know, cook and stuff. It was pretty out there. But my brother started by around then to play guitar. And he, you know, this is when the Stones were, you remember in these days it was not like 8 bazillion bands, it was you were either Stones or Beatles. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
You might be a Herman's Hermit kind of guy, which we didn't talk to them.
Or maybe Who? Or maybe
yes,
Kinks.
Who was quick on the tail of this, yes. But at first, you know, it was the Beatles and that kind of thing. Like, I was really young. I remember seeing the Beatles on TV, on the news. Remember, you may remember this, when they came to America, it was on the news. It wasn't like the entertainment news. It was the news. And do you remember this at all?
Yeah, because rock and roll came from Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, yeah.
But here it had to be kind of reinvented from England because we had spaced on it.
Yeah, exactly. And so these guys come over, and it was like, you know, they call it the British invasion, but it was on the news, and I didn't even know what a band was. I was a kid. So I'm watching this with my brother, and I remember seeing, you know, it's like things you remember, like Kennedy's assassination. Is that, I remember seeing it, and I was like, what is this? It's so puzzling to me. These guys coming off a plane and people screaming. And, you know, it was pretty out there. It was like nothing I understood in my, you know, I was young. So I, you know, around then he started playing guitar and I somehow got some sticks and didn't have a drum set, but I played on the couch. And the back of the couch was the cymbal and, you know, the couch itself, I was banging on the snare. So I started banging along with the records, and I actually wore out the couch. It was a foam cushion, and I mean, it was powder by the time. I just beat it up. Yeah, I tore it up, and it was all red bear and everything. And
What about school? Did you do any kind of music at school, like the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, I was, and this relates to what happened in my family. In fourth grade, it was when my mom died, but I was in the Bronx, and I remember her because she also taught my sister and brother who were before me. And Mrs. James, who taught in 127 Junior High School in the Bronx. And she was like, you are going to be a musician. I was already playing drums, but we had choir and stuff like that. You know what I mean? We'd sing, like we'd sing, I am the captain of the Pinafore, you know, like the
Pirates of Penzance.
Yes, exactly.
Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Yeah, exactly. So she was like, you can memorize melodies quickly. And now she was like, you're going to be a musician. And I was already playing drums by junior high. You know, I was pretty like serious about it by then. And that was really important to me, but I never played any music. And like I said, it was because my father was kind of like, you shouldn't, you know, play music, it's beautiful, it's a great thing, but, you know, it's not a job. So I ended up being a science major in, for like 2 years, something in college. And I was, pretty terrible student.
What about your first trap kit? When did you get that?
That was when I was in about sixth grade or fifth or, you know, running. And since we were in the basement, we had a gigantic apartment, and in the Bronx, pre-war buildings, the walls were like, you know, 2 feet of concrete or whatever, cement, you know. And so we could bang away all day. And my brother had an amp, and we'd play in the bedroom. We had a big room. And so I got from the, around the corner, there was a music store, and I saw this drum kit, Lyra Drums, that was a brand. It was a Japanese, actually not a bad kit. But, you know, I wanted Ludwigs, and a friend of my brother's, somehow, he was a singer in my brother's band. He was like, Doug, he's getting good, you know. So, and I was the kid hanging around looking at them all the time. And so he somehow secured a Ringo Starr-like Ludwig kit, you know, the Oyster Gray, you know, the kid, the Ringo Starr thing. So I got one of those, and for free. He
wow.
Got it from some guy who was not playing. And that was my first real kit. And I should never have gotten rid of it.
And that's Econo.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I want to play Unreal Time number 2, Brill Frizzell and Yourself.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
ginger dude had the attitude, but the 70s had him spaced. Up in Hollywood, maybe then he could find a reason for his face. Turned his Volkswagen into Spielwagon, Hong Kong Cafe, New Year's show. Drove up from Pedro, Watts Road. At that show, drove up from Pedro, they drove.
The old men of the council, dressed in purple, red, and gold, meet secretly to argue the destiny of the world. To gain control of the future, they manipulate the past, reconstructing history in Sherman Kissing Glass, chasing the three gold balls through eternal time and space, securing them will let them control the human race.
For Pedro Show, yeah, in real time number two, Bill Frisell, Dougie Bound, then Pitt, brand new from Mr. Tom and Tobacco, great new album, it's coming out, and same with Fuson out of Osaka with Vertical KO and all that Vertical. After that, Josh Fischel, The Fiction, doing a song I wrote called Drove Up from Pedro, and it's got Nels Klein on guitar. Not this version, though. This has got, I know the drummer and the singer, of course, Josh Fischel, but Jerry Trebitich, the second man drummer, man, is the drummer. Then the Rinklin Brothers, this has got George Hurley on drums, Joe Dean on bass, Elnapria, project got going now. Doug Weisselman and Dougie Baum with Unreal Time number three. Then Breaking in My Heart. This is Television with Richard Hell in 1975, live at CBGB. Wow. Pat Smear from The Germs after that with his second solo album, and Love Your Friends. Brand new from Lunatics on Parole, The Dream. And finally, Unreal Time number four, Matt Nelson, Dougie Baum. So you told me, Dougie, the first band you played in was just jamming with your brother. Then he got his own band. What was the first band that you joined?
Well, that's a good question, actually. I don't really know.
You know what? On the Watt from Pedro show, there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Okay. But there are lack of memory. That happens. Now, this is funny. When I moved down in seventh grade, my father, we moved down to Jersey, the seashore, which, you know, I hated at the time. I had friends in the Bronx and, you know, long hair. I was kind of a hippie by then, I guess. And I moved down to Jersey, so it was quite a different world. I mean, it was a whole different universe. But I did eventually find a bunch of people, and you know, I played, by then I was listening to the Allman Brothers, Jimi Hendrix, the band, everything everyone else listened to. But I was pretty deeply, you know, I'd listen very carefully and play along with the records. And somewhere in high school I got I found a bunch of guys who were a little older than me, and we had a band. You know, you're trying to get jobs at parties and bars and stuff. I was too young to play in bars, but we did play one gig, actually, I remember, in a bar, and we lied about my age. But soon thereafter, in about 10th grade in school, you know, I was usually playing by myself. Around then, I heard Bitches Brew, and then Mahavishnu and Herbie and, you know, all that kind of, I was already listening to a lot of Donny Hathaway and Stevie Wonder. So I was moving into a direction of more R&B, you know, Parliament, Funkadelic, and that kind of thing. Rather, you know, my friends were listening to Emerson, Lake and Palmer or some stuff like that. I have no idea. But I was, you know, getting into kind of a jazz and R&B thing. So I finally got a car in like 11th grade, I believe. And I started driving up to North Jersey and playing with adults, actually. And, you know, guys who could actually play. And I was in a band with a bass player, actually Mike Wiggins. And it was a Ted Coleman, a vibes player. And we, you know, we were playing, we'd play at bars and stuff. And I was in 11th grade around then, maybe 12th. But the, Mike had played in Junior Walker in the All-Stars.
Shotgun.
Yeah, exactly. So he, and he was on a couple of records. I actually checked decades later. But these guys could, you know, were jazz, and we did Herbie Hancock, Crusaders, you know, that kind of music. There was a radio station in Philly that I listened to constantly. It's still there. WRTI. So you had this whole other kind of, you know, I was in Jersey, and it was kind of people with long hair looking to rock and stuff. But I got into this other thing, you know, kind of jazz and fusion and that kind of thing. Norman Connors was always on there, and, you know, Linda Sharrock and Phyllis Hyman, all these people who you may not know.
Yeah, yeah, we're talking mid-70s, early-70s.
Yes, but so is jazz, you know, jazz had an R&B gigantic movement of, you know what I mean, like crossover, the Crusaders being
Commodores,
famous.
Commodores.
Yeah, yeah. So in Philly, you had a really happening music recording scene with deep, deep players. And so I got really into that scene. Like, I love those guys. That's what I wanted to be. So that was the beginning of my being in, like, bands. You know, other than that, it was sitting around in my bedroom playing along with the records.
Well, look, you're close to 1976, yeah. Lower Manhattan, East Side.
Yeah.
So you got aware of the movement.
No. And this is kind of, you'll love, well, this is kind of funny. This is where it gets funny. I missed out. I knew nothing. I knew the Loft jazz scene, Sam Rivers, Anthony Braxton, who was from a different scene, but Oliver Lake. And I don't know if you know these cats. You,
yeah,
probably,
Raymond,
you
know. Raymond Pettibone took me to see Sam Rivers in Hollywood.
Yeah, okay. So you know all this. But that's what I was reading about in Jersey, in a small, nowhere, you know, tiny town. So I wanted to get to New York to play that. But concurrently, punk rock was being invented, and Tom Verlaine and Patti Smith and all these people. And my friends knew about it. But you know how you're, when you're a kid, it's all like you're in a gang. So I was like, yeah, you know, that rock, fuck that shit. I don't dig it. I like jazz, you know. So when I came to New York, and this is where it gets, I don't want to jump ahead, but like 79, I came to New York, and my brother and I left. We lived in Baton Rouge for a little bit, you know, we, like a holiday in band playing cover tunes. And then we stayed in Baton Rouge, played in a funk band. It was killing, with a Hammond B3 guy, you know, and, but that, you know, we were into that kind of thing, but we had a job. But I got back to New York and meet this guy on the street. And by then, my friend had cut my hair and dyed it. You know, I looked like a kind of punk dude, but I really knew little about it. I heard the Voidoids and Elvis Costello and Talking Heads, but I was like, man, there's something happening here. What is this? This is kind of really interesting to me. But I never listened to, I didn't know the Velvet Underground or the history, Lou Reed, David Bowie. I knew very little about
John Cale.
Yeah, so I knew nothing about this. So my guy on the street stopped me. I had a stick bag outside of Manny's Music on 48th. He said, "You look cool, you know, cool. Can you play?" And I said, "You know, I was kind of, yeah, fuck yeah. Play." He says, "Listen, I'm playing with a guy, John Cale. He's looking for a drummer. Do you want to audition?" Believe it or not, on the street, I don't know the guy. And the guy turns out to be Chuck Hammer, a guitar player, later played with Lou Reed for years, and is on Ashes to Ashes, David Bowie's
sure,
on
sure. There. I gotta stop you right now, Dougie, because we're at the end of the first hour of the August 8th, 2020 edition of Wild Pedro Show. Special guest, Dougie Bound. Hold tight for hour two. August 8th, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
fun. Thank you. treba ti poneseš u rancu, iz zamišljenog sta na zamišljenom lancu povedeš u šetnju kroz grad. Pustiš da ti zeleno na semaforu kaže kojim putem da stigneš do najbliže plaže, jako svesna si da ovo nije Kalifornija, nego da sedeš tu je muzika već pronašla put i svuda je zemlja čuda i obećana. Poneseš u sebi, sedneš na bicikl i ne razmišljaš debi dok brzo krećeš pedale. Pustiš da ti zeleno na semaforu oda, najkraći put preko zvezdanog svoda i samo pratiš te signale, samo pratiš te signale. Gde god da sedneš tu je muzika već pronašla put. Svuda je zemlja čuda i obećana obala okeana. Ne živi se na vodi i hlebu, da bi se živo na pustok na nebu. Zato su neophodne druge žrtve.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Bill Frisell and Dougie Bound. Again, doing Unreal Time number 5. Then from Japan, The Chef Cooks Me with Beautiful Person. Swenson Klein out of Canada, Plastic Horse. Then Unreal Time number 6, Dougie Bound with Chris Speed. Nemi Pesnik from Slovenia after that with Oki Ani Razea. Chromeet Bob and Dougie Bound with Unreal Time number 7. Not Garage by the Telepass out of England. And finally, Unreal Time number 8, Jared Samuels, Dougie Bound. Now we'll continue it. You meet a guy outside of Manny's. By the way, people, 48th Street, this is all gone now, but this was Manny's. This is where Jimmy fucking went and bought guitars and Pete Townsend and shit like this. And that shit's all gone now. Anyway, continue.
That was the music block. You're right. It was all music stores. And any day you went there, you would see, legends of music walking down the street and buying guitars. It was great. But this is kind of funny. The guy says, I'm playing with this guy, John Cale, who I don't recognize the name, but it sounds like, okay, it's a gig. Let me go audition. And I go and play, and John Cale loves it, and I get hired. And he fires the guy who invited me, Chuck Hammer.
Whoa.
Like, right there. He didn't like his thing. So I get into John Cale's band, and this is the funny part. My friends were kind of, by then, knew all this, who he was, and he's a legend. And they worship all the Velvets and Patti Smith and all his connections. But I have no idea who the guy is. So I get home, and, like I said, I liked jazz, and I listen to a different kind of music mostly. So I get back, and I'm with my friend Kevin. I said, I don't know, man. It's kind of cool. We played this one quarter for like a half hour. It was a song, Waiting for a Man or something. And my friends, of course, hated me. I knew nothing about the importance of Waiting for the Man. I didn't know the song. So, it's kind of
funny. It happens, Dougie.
Yeah. So, by accident, I get involved in this world. Now, I have to say, I had very strong opinions about rock music and its playing. I wasn't a guy who was, I'll play dumb here. I grew up on listening to Ringo, John Bonham, the Beatles, the Allman Brothers, like Joe Cocker, whatever.
Jim Keltner.
Keltner, I worship. I loved him. And all the Stax guys, all of it. If you get in there deeply, there are specific aspects to the language, like dialect. You know what I mean? But it's all, after a while, it became all the same thing to me. Either you mean it or you don't. You know what I'm saying? So to me, and it was soon after, I played with John Cale for a while, made it a live record, and he was kind of the relationship was a little strained with him and basically everyone else.
And I think it was a rough period in his life.
Yes, it was. And he's an intense guy. I'm not saying anything horrible. But for me, I was a kid, and it was a little rough. So I quit, actually, and I was in a band with the bass player, George Scott III, from the Contortions. He's a legend. I mean, he passed away soon after, but I'm really an important guy. I started the Ray Beats, I believe. And really, he was my best buddy at the time. And we both quit after Sabotage was made. And, you know, I got to work in restaurants and whatnot. But I could play. So where they got out, and as soon as I quit, Tom Verlaine called me. So I started, he had just broken up Television. So I started rehearsing with Tom Verlaine and a guy named Chris Spedding.
No, Billy Fika. Look, I got to play some more in real time. Number 9, okay?
Thank you. Alright, Mickey, where's our money?
I don't know, Miss.
Goofy, you stay out of this.
My shorts. I put my
Unless you want a black eye.
Oh, no, 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 no problem. No, no.
Now back to you, Mickey.
I don't know. I thought you put the flush down the toilet.
We either want the drugs or the money.
The money and the drugs down the toilet.
Okay, that's it. Spike's on the video.
Turn off the water. Oh. Ooh. Nice.
Stop the video. God damn it.
Hey, put it back on.
Look.
But anyway, it was good.
I think you missed the point.
I was enjoying it. It was great. It was really something. It was something like I'd never seen before in my
heart. That's that drag him out of the alley.
Oh, my God. Put it back. Oh, no. Oh, no. Hi, everybody. Stop.
My favorite one I ever did to a player he had to pull out his sword, and the only time his sword knew what he wanted was if he shouted out, I have the power.
Alright, one guy, a prisoner died at the Mohawk Indian Reservation in New York. Okay? Dude, I'm not supposed to be a kid, dude. I don't like this. I will share information with you. I want to know if you know, and I will share information about sacred geometry. For example, how and why the Great Spirit is, why is it about that? I've gone and worked with the mind. I understand mind calendar. I can tell you your mind is astrology. I can do tarot reading and enchantments. I have Salvia Divinorum that I made my own abstract of. It is super awesome. This is 7 left, 5 minutes. I made it myself. I have a 21 shot.
This is the greatest party ever. That's my opinion.
This guy's like, in my opinion, about 200,000 people here, and everyone's just coming together, man. Everyone, there's hell outside, and everyone's just playing and laughing and just telling jokes. Big relief, you know, after all this shit, everyone's along. All this current bombing and shit, and you have someone like this, it just brings everyone
together. I mean, I have met so many great people. Like, just in these little rooms, I've met so many nice people.
Thank you. one. Okay, you got that, Mom? Okay, now we'll fold it up and we'll put it in his back pocket. 6 months from now, when he finally does his laundry, he'll find out that there is a wad of disgusting goo in the back of his pocket. He'll say, "What is this?" And then he will remember, "It's hair. It's my hair. I've watered it. I've fertilized it all this time." And sure enough, it has grown. It is an investment that you cannot refuse. It turns out. Now this hair, I'm passing to him now. He's extending his hand. I'm placing it. Hear that? Hear that? Oh, he's got it.
A five!
Contraband. Sorry, contraband.
Perhaps the most difficult aspect of such an exacting task is to maintain the liveliness of the idea throughout the long and laborious processes.
Peter Show. Yeah, Unreal Time number 9. Han Rowe, Dougie Bound. I must have been out of my mind. Peter Lochner from the old Cleveland scene. He tried out for a television. I think he pulled out a gun or something and Tom Verlaine said, nope. That's what Tony Mamone told me. Unreal Time number 10, Percy Jones and Dougie Bound. That guy can play bass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck. And he's from the that Fuge days.
Yeah.
Fretless guy. Great, great musician. Damon Smith, a stand-up bass man after that with Conduits of Bone. Raz Messinai, I'm sorry. Messinai. Dougie Bound with Unreal Time number 11. Devin, Gary, and Ross. That's Gary Panner and his trio he's got. What did the hippie pen say to the hippie pencil? And finally, Unreal Time number 12, Elliot Sharp and Dougie Bound. E Sharp. I got to do Bootstrappers with him and George Hurt. I played a little bass with rubber band strings called the Ashman. Mm. So you start jamming with Tom Verlaine.
Spinning. I had the two greatest gigs in New York right at that moment. But it's a story I tell all the time. A girlfriend of mine, and we may have been broken up, but she buys a ticket. You have to see this guy, Iggy Pop. And so I went to see him at a place called the Palladium, and I stood on seat arms the whole time. It completely blew my mind. And once again, I did not have any Iggy records or really know his thing. And so I go nuts for like a week and a half telling all of my friends, who all, by the way, know him as music, then they're kind of sick of it. And he, out of the blue, fires his drummer in the middle of a tour and calls me. And Fred Smith and
Dear Friends. How did he get your number?
Huh?
How'd he get your number, Dougie?
Well, Fred Smith from television.
Bassman.
Bassman. And Dear France, who was living with, there were a couple. Dear France had sung in John Cale's band, so she told Fred about me. And, you know, they somehow, I guess, you know, because of television, he was in touch with Jim Iggy. So Iggy called me himself and said, listen, I'm looking for a drummer in that lovely baritone voice. And everyone said, you're the guy. And I thought it was a joke. I thought someone was making fun of me because I was ranting about the guy all week. And you know, after like a minute of it, I'm like, come on, man, who is it? I realized it was actually the guy I had seen. And I went to audition the next day and got the gig. The audition was funny. I went wild when he walked in the room and knocked over a cymbal, which unplugged the guitarist's wide cord, and he looked over, you're hired. So I destroyed something at the audition, which helped.
Because he likes chaos.
Yes.
How long did you play with him, Dougie?
You know, and this is, it's hard to answer. I don't know. I think it was like a year or so. I stayed, made one record, and, I left. I was like, I need to be playing more different kinds of music. But I maintain a friendship with Jim, and he's come to countless gigs I've done since then. And, you know, I don't talk to him that much, but, you know, we're friends. And he always, last time I saw him was with you, actually.
That's great to hear. Dougie, we're at the end of the second hour, August 8, 2020, Dishwap Peter Show. Special guest, Dougie Bound, hold tight for hour three. August 8, 2020, it's the third hour. The Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
Tomorrow.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with David Coulter, Dougie Bound doing Unreal Time number 13. Then we had Crane for tomorrow. Unreal 14 after that, Yuka Honda, Dougie Bound. Chicos Raros, Barcelona. La Playa, the beach. Well, Wild Boys, the beach. Nels Klein and Dougie Bound after that for Unreal Time number 15. Then the Born Shitsters, they were on the last episode. We get it already. You're vegan, straight edge. I guess I, you know, movement's always had that ironic vibe. Like a Maoist summer camp, you know.
Yep.
Ted Reichman, Dougie Bound, Unreal Time number 60. Let's tell the people about the Unreal Time.
Okay.
How'd you cook it up, Dougie?
Well, you know, on Facebook and Instagram, it can be a miserable, miserable place. So, actually, after, a few years ago, I said, I'm going to just make little music videos to spruce up the joint, if you would. And I started making these things, murmurations. And it was like a, you know, I'd film trees or the sky or whatever, walking around outside and write some music because I write music every day. That's my thing, you know, what I do. Anyway.
That's important, Dougie. That's important because some people believe that drummers can't write songs.
No, well, no. I actually write. I write music for a long time. I've done film scores and I've written lots of songs with people. I don't write lyrics, but drummers. I think some of my favorite singers are drummers. Actually, like Paul is pretty great. Stevie, Todd Rundgren was
Jim Brown.
But then, you know, if you understand harmony and melody and stuff, you're going to play better drums, you know. So if you look at it that way, that's why I worked, I think. Because, you know, I played with a wider variety of people than most people I ever knew, you know. From kind of John Zorn type people to Cassandra Wilson and Marin Faithful or Jack Bruce, you know, I played with a really wide variety of people, musical styles, I guess we call it. But, you know, it's all the same thing to me by now. It's music.
Right, Unreal Time.
Yeah. So these things, anyway. When I was making little videos to just distract people, cheer them up, inspire them anyway. And when the lockdown started, I was like, I'm going to reach out to, you know, friends of mine and just collaborate. We're all in our houses anyway. And people are going to get a little nutty. So I'll make these little videos, you know, just to... Music helps people, you know. Like, so that was the idea originally. Then, during this, the assassination, the murder of George Floyd, you know, the marches began. So it became another thing altogether that we, you know, we're in this great awakening right now of the country. It's a huge moment, I think. So, music, it either rises to the, you know, it comments and helps people get through things, or it doesn't. There's the other kind of music, which is, you know, just noise in the background and money to be made. So, you know, and to be overly exaggerate. These were just done for me not to go nuts while we're all stuck in the house and to maybe cheer up some friends. But my friends, you know, I called Bill Frizzell And he's, you know, we played together for a long time, and he was like, oh, I'll send you something tomorrow. Send me six things, and then Elliot Sharp and Percy Jones, and, you know, I have a lot of friends, so.
Yeah.
And you? So there, you know, everyone said, yeah, let's do it. And it's painless. And hopefully, people have said, look, I needed to see that today. You know, that's the best thing you can hear, right?
Right. And I want to hear the last three I got from.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
For Peter Show, last music for this edition on Real Time number 17, Kung Wu with Dougie Bound, Ned Collette and Wire Walker with Vanita Squack, then Dougie Bound with myself for Unreal Time number 18, which I hear Nels Klein likes. And then Knog Zuba. Koba, that's Black Tooth in Serbian, and he's playing guitar here. It's part two of Funky Lastis, a trippy soundtrack. And finally, Elliot Sharp, Dougie Bound with Unreal Time number 19. So, Dougie, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, my name, Dougie Bound, and Facebook, I'm on there. And
but is there, is there a Dougie Bound website?
No, I don't, actually. I'm kind of lazy about that.
But you should do that.
But I'm thinking...
I'm not saying you don't put your flyers on those other telephone poles, but you should have a home base where nobody
nobody's
in control, nobody filters. It's a fanzine ethic, Dougie.
Yes, it's actually a great thing. And the flyers on telephone poles, I'm still... missing that, but...
No, I was using it as a metaphor, Dougie.
Yeah, I know. It's I know it is. Actually, it was a simile, because I said like.
Ah, okay. Okay.
But, I have to do that. I'm kind of bad at promoting, self-promotion kind of thing.
That's okay.
It's great to have a... place where people can find your thing. You
sure,
know?
Sure. Look, being creative is more important, and you've got plenty of that. So
well,
I've much respect for you. Dougie, if you met a young drummer man who wanted to get into this racket, do you have any advice from your long journey through music and your continuing?
Well, I do talk to young drummers. I have friends who are playing and starting out. You know, things are pretty rough for everyone right now, so I don't separate the music industry from everything else. Everyone is suffering right now. Music industry has had a lot of setbacks.
So much the industry. I mean, just get involved with expressing yourself through music.
Yeah, that is, well, the only reason I said that is because I admire your whole thing. You look at yourself like a dude who's working. Where a lot of people, the first thing is that we are workers. And if you look at music like that, you're doing a job that is helpful to people. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of necessary. I mean, you and I have talked about this before, but, you know, how we look at in the world. We're doing a job that needs to be done, right? Otherwise, it's just, that can influence how you play. If you're not talking to people on some level through your instrument, you ain't got no interest to me personally, you know what I mean? And it's kind of a pointless thing, you know? So we, you know, I know a lot of people who are just starting out, actually drummers, and they're on a scene. Of course, right now, nobody's doing nothing, but we talk about things like that, like how to communicate in the most most passionate way, right? So stickings and, you know, technical stuff, not really important. You see some guys and they change your way of thinking when you see them play music. And some guys, you see gals, everything in between, you see them and you can tell they're just playing notes, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's the only thing we ever talk about. You know, if you're talking about playing in 13-8 or, you know, that's just, that's not important anymore.
Yeah, right? I totally agree. Dougie, it's been a huge honor to have you on the show. You might be doing a lot more on Real Times, so keep them coming.
Still doing.
Yeah, keep them coming because I love them. Yeah. The Hell Sitch can provide, you know, a farmer would tell you if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
Yep.
Right. Love you, Dougie. People, it's been the August 8th, 2020 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.